I am very pleased to be in the WRTI Performance Studio with a wonderful opera singer from South Africa, Musa Nkwana.
Yeah, you got it right.
Difficult name to pronounce, but just a charming name. And we also have Laurie Rogers, who's a conductor and pianist, with us to accompany Musa. Musa, you are a rising star. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Musa, you're a rising star in the opera world. You've performed many times at wonderful venues around the country, the Glimmerglass Festival, also Washington National Opera. You were just in Carmen for Opera Philadelphia, and you've got a newly released memoir, Odyssey of an African Opera Singer.
Yes, I do.
So we're going to get to all of that in just a moment, but I know our audience is eager to hear you sing. So set the stage for what you're going to perform for us first.
I will start with something sweet, I hope. It's from La Sonnambula, The Sleepwalker by Bellini. Count Rodolfo in the story has grew up in a farm, basically in the woods, quite serene place, and he left it. And so he's come back now after many years, maybe over 20 years, and he sees there's a little wedding. And when he sees the meal, he sees the farm, he sees the woods, he sees the fountain, they just make him remember how peaceful it was. We still don't know why he left. He's also a minor role in the opera, but I guess they wanted to showcase the beautiful music of the bel canto.
Wonderful.
Il mulino, il fonte, il bosco, e vicin la fattoria. Vir avviso, o luoghi ameni, inquilieti, in cui tranquillo ed i passai della prima gioventù. Cari luoghi, io vi trovai, cari luoghi, io vi trovai, quei dì non trovo più. Vir avviso, o luoghi ameni, inquilieti, ed i passai della prima gioventù.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. If you're just joining us, I'm Deborah Lou Harder here in the WRTI 90.1 Performance Studio, and we've just heard bass baritone Musa Nkwana and pianist Laurie Rogers perform O Ravviso from Act One of La Sonnambula by Bellini.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful example of bel canto singing. I wanted to bring up your newly released memoir, Musa. It's Odyssey of an African Singer, and I'm going to hold it up here for our Facebook audience to see the cover. You're only 34 years old. Why did you write a memoir at your age?
That was tough. And when I grew up in high school, I used to write diaries. But then that was unmacho, growing up in a ghetto and trying to write diaries and talk about your feelings. Those don't click well. And if you think you want to belong to the boys' club, then that is set aside. And so I burnt them all and forgot about them. But I've been lucky that my memory has been gracious to me. So most of it has come back, vivid memories, especially the big events in my life and some of the intimate memories. Why I wrote the book was because I felt that and found out that when I was angry, and there have been a lot of walls that I built up around myself, and I was angry suddenly. And I think all of it had been buried inside for a long time. I thought I was over it. And it was hard for me to have any relationships. When people also would ask me, oh, so you come from South Africa, tell us more. That used to annoy me because then I would have to tell them more.
And it was not an easy more.
No.
You are very brutally honest in your memoir. There are some very tough things you talk about. Growing up in abject poverty, sometimes you had no heat, no electricity, sometimes not even a roof over your head. Your house was burned down by government agents, and many relatives depended on your poor, hardworking mother and grandmother.
Yes.
And you say in your book, poverty demeans the mind. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, because poverty is not just about food or a lack of food. Are you employed? Can you pay the bills? Do you have education, especially the education part, and how you think? When I think of, say, rapists, those people are poor. It doesn't matter whether they've got money or not, because the way you think, it affects you. If you think I need to drink a lot, there could be alcoholics in rich societies, but mostly in poor societies, people, because they don't have jobs, they don't have a lot of things to do, then they resort to drinking. But it's also in poor societies where you feel or you find stories where you hear that a 60-year-old man has raped a 2-year-old.
Mm.
So that's the kind of background I come from. It demeans the mind, you know, because you don't think progressively. It's not civilized.
It's very dark. And yet, you were very lucky in middle school to begin singing in choirs. And you write about how that saved you from a life of crime, from drugs, and from sinking into the sort of depravity that you were surrounded by. We're going to talk about that also a little bit more, how singing became your lifeline and all the wonderful people who helped you along your journey. And you eventually ended up at the Academy of Vocal Arts here in Philadelphia and are launched on a great career. But I think it's time for some more music. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the next aria you're going to sing?
So the next aria is actually from Don Quixote by Massenet, and it's from the fourth act. Sancho chastises all the people in the soiree. To make the long story short, Don Quixote, his boss, had wanted to marry Dulcinea, the lady in question. And she said to me, I'm going to marry you if you can retrieve a lost prize for me, which is a necklace. That's very important for her. And he says, okay, I'm going to go to the bandits who stole it from you, or took it from you, fight them off. If I get it back, will you marry me? She says, yes. But when he comes back, after having retrieved it, she changes her story, says, thank you so much for giving it to me, but I'm not going to marry you, old man. Everyone then starts making fun of Don Quixote. Sancho, his servant, doesn't like that. So he says, all of you are not even worthy to kneel to him. So the aria is all about anger and chastisement.
And what's the name of the aria?
Riez, allez, riez du pauvre idéologue. Ah, go on, laugh at this poor old man, laugh at this poor ideologue, but you're not worthy of him.
Great.
Ça, vous commettez tous un acte épouvantable, belle dame. Seigneur, un outrage ici, le roi. admirable et hardi que voici.
Bravo. That was tremendous. Such power in your voice. If you're just joining us, we've just heard bass baritone Musa Nguana and pianist Lori Rogers in Riez, Allez, Riez from Jules Massenet's Don Quixote. That was Sancho's aria. Such grandeur and
yeah,
and fire.
That one, you know, thanks to AVA, because Maestro Makatsouris, the music director at AVA, chose this opera and we did it. Patrick Geary and I sang this role as well as Zach Nelson. And from this, he has two arias, one in the second act and this one. And the one in the second act is followed by this big duet where they cursing at the windmills. But then I was like, I've never heard anyone sing this. And I think for competitions, because after I did that role at AVA, I actually went to do the Met competition. And for the first time, went to the finals and won it with this role.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, it is a gorgeous aria, and it shows so much expression and depth and feeling that is so integral to your character. From reading your book, I'll hold it out again for our Facebook audience, Odyssey of an African Opera Singer. Coming from a life of great deprivation, you found choral singing in middle school and high school, and then you went on to, how did you make that journey, that transition from choral singing to becoming an opera singer?
Well, you know, in the choral fraternity, we all just sang, and mm-hmm. also for us at home, singing is just part of life, you know, whether there's a wedding or something, it's just part of our culture. So everyone sings, whether you have the voice or not.
It's spontaneous.
I didn't think that I had a voice, to be honest.
Really?
To be a soloist. Mm-hmm. No, if they needed an extra person in a church choir or the choir sang in, then that was it. Even though I remember then seeing a 1978 production of Magic Flute, where Willard White was doing the role of the speaker. That's where I saw opera for the first time. I was 16. And I said, what is that? And it was German music. I didn't understand the German language. Mm-hmm. It sounded like Afrikaans from back home. I was like, whatever they are doing, I want to do that.
Okay.
But of course, you know, that was just a dream that dissipated easily, because you could then had to focus on school. Mm-hmm. And when I finished school, I wanted to study medicine or engineering. Opted for engineering because it was cheaper. Plus, my grades were not great at the end of my what we call matriculation year, your high school diploma. I was so depressed that year. I almost didn't finish school, didn't do well. But I was like, okay, I'm not going to make any excuse, but I know that to do medicine, maybe I should take a gap year, work a bit, some restaurant jobs. Then after that, I could then go to school and get better grades, you know. Of course, at home, if you give up, 1 year of gap year means giving up, and you could easily get someone pregnant, you could easily go mm-hmm. into prison or do drugs.
Yes.
So we had to opt for technical college. That's what I did.
Okay.
But I dropped out after a year because we couldn't afford it. Mm. It's only then after that a year where singing that I had always been doing all my life became an option. I said, well, let's try singing and see if I could make it.
It was the third option.
Yeah, but even then, I thought maybe I could become a teacher or work in the arts and culture sector, not to become a soloist.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when really I auditioned for a company called the Black Ties that was in Pretoria, where Mimi Kurtze, who sang a lot in Vienna and Europe, she said to me, well, there's a voice there.
Oh.
You know, I think you should go to school. I said, with what? She talked to people in Cape Town. From there, 3 weeks later, I went to Cape Town to audition for the opera school at the University of Cape Town for the first time. Then I had formal vocal lessons.
And how old were you then?
I was 20.
Okay.
I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And actually started 21. When I auditioned, I was 20. I started 21. And then when I started, maybe in my second year, did I realize there was something.
There was something.
Yeah.
And people heard you and recognized you. And you made your way to Philadelphia, to the Academy
of
Vocal
Arts. That was because Kamal Khan, who, like Laurie, is a pianist and a conductor, worked a lot at the Met as an assistant conductor and pianist, and then wanted to spread his wings, started conducting all over. He ended up in South Africa and now was going to be the next director of the opera school when our previous director, Angelo Cobato, was retiring. So Kamal then says to me, now that you're finishing school here, what do you want to do? I said, I think I still want to study further. You know, I know we've spent 5 years in Cape Town, but I feel I need to be in Europe where I could study 4 more years at least to have that experience, because here we don't have the budget to cover everything.
Yes.
He said to me, have you considered the States? I said, yeah, where in the States? I can't afford Juilliard or any of the schools. I'm like, well, in Philadelphia, they've got 2 schools. AVA or Curtis? I think AVA would be more your fit because it's for students who are your age. By then, I was 26. So if you start at AVA, if you can get at AVA, you'll do 4 years there and you do roles.
Mm-hmm.
In Cape Town, we had 1 or 2 coachings
yes.
a week. At AVA, you had 3 or 4 coachings a day.
And with the support of many admirers and mentors, you were
yeah.
able to get here to Philadelphia, and you graduated from AVA in 2014,
yes.
and you've had many important debuts. And
since then.
In your book, you talk about, though, how it's still a struggle, and you must still have the heart of a lion, you say you're a Leo,
yeah.
to overcome disappointment, and when you maybe not don't win an audition, to keep on going. So that's
yeah.
something you talk about as well.
Because, you know... I remember finishing school, as I say in the book, I finished school, I was supposed to be doing a new opera on the life of Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. And so now I had 5 months without nothing. And at AVA, we used to have what we call fellowship checks from patrons to pay for rent.
Yes.
Once you're out, that nothing is coming.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. And so I had to pay rent, I had to deal with all these things, pay taxes
mm-hmm.
on whatever comes your way. My first job was in Washington at the Kennedy Center. That was going to be in October.
Yes, so you had to wait.
So I had to wait.
So a lot of patience you talk about in your book, as well as persistence.
Yeah, nothing is ever guaranteed.
Wonderful lessons for every young singer and person. I think it's time for some more music, and I'm going to ask Laurie to introduce your last aria. She's also a conductor and knows this repertoire very well. Laurie, what are you going to do next?
Thank you. I'll give Musa a little bit of a break for a moment. We are going to close with John Claggart's aria from Benjamin Britten's opera Billy Budd, which is based on the Herman Melville book of the same name. Billy is the handsome young sailor that has come aboard, and John Claggart is the master at arms who is thrown off by the beauty. He says, "O beauty, O handsomeness, O goodness, would that I never encountered you." Something about Billy strikes a nerve in him, his just pure goodness, and he says, "Because of that, I have no choice but to destroy you."
Ooh.
Which sets up an inevitable confrontation between the two of them that does not end well for either of them by the end of the opera. But this is his soliloquy, his monologue, if you will, about the effect of seeing Billy among the crew.
Great.
and some less goodness. Would that I never encountered you. Would that I lived in my own world always, in that depravity to which I was born. There I found peace of a sort. There I established an order such as reigns in hell. But alas, alas, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it and suffers. Oh, beauty, oh, handsomeness, goodness, would that I never seen you. Would that I'd never seen you. Having seen you, what choice remains to me? None, none. I am doomed to annihilate you. I am vowed to your destruction. I will wipe you off the face of the earth, of this tiny floating fragment of earth, of the ship where fortune has led you. First, I will trouble your happiness. I will mutilate and silence the body where you dwell. It shall hang from the Adam, it shall fall into the depths of the sea, and all shall be as if nothing had been. No, you cannot escape. With hate and anger, I am stronger than love. So may it be. Handsomeness, goodness, you are surely in my power. Tonight, nothing can defend you, nothing can defend you, nothing, nothing, nothing. So may it be. To be for what hope remains if love can escape, if love still lives and grows strong where I cannot enter. What hope is there in my own dark world for me? No, I cannot believe it. No. That were torment to keen. I, John Clagart, master at arms upon the indomitable, have you in my power. And I will destroy you. I will destroy you.
Whew. I'm chilled to the bone. That was tremendous. Bravo.
It's quite intense.
What a fierce and scary aria. We've just heard Musa Ngwana and pianist Laurie Rogers in Oh Beauty, Oh Handsomeness, Goodness. Klaggert's aria from Billy Budd by Benjamin Britten. Well, that was fantastic. And I'm sure you draw from everything you talk about in your book to bring that kind of intensity and power to your role. Again, Musa's book is Odyssey of an African Opera Singer. For our Facebook audience, here it is again. It's coming out, I believe, on Kindle.
Kindle is already available for immediate download. Mm-hmm. Through Amazon, also on Nook, Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
It will come on paperback here in the States at the end of June.
Fantastic. It's put out by Penguin Books.
Penguin Books. You can follow me on my website or Facebook. I put out all the links as well as updates.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Musa and Laurie, for being here in our performance studio. It was great to have
thanks
you.
Thanks for having us, and thanks to Laurie for the amazing play.
Yes. Back to you, Jack.